We are in a series of messages about questions Jesus asked. And we are today take a look at Luke 18, verse 1 to verse 8. The parable that you know is the parable of the persistent widow. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. But to understand this parable, we need to go back a little bit to Luke chapter 17, because this text, this parable, is part of Jesus' teaching about his second come in Luke 17, 20, when the Pharisees asked him when the kingdom of God would come. So Jesus then answered the Pharisees in verse 20. The coming of kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. The Jesus' response here, the first response was, the kingdom of God is here already. Of course that he was talking with who? With the Pharisees. And he was not saying that the kingdom of God was in them, because the Pharisees did not believe in Jesus as the Messiah, as the Savior. What Jesus was saying is, the kingdom of God is already here, because I am the king and I am already here. I have inaugurated my kingdom. But we need to understand that Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of God is more than that. When he taught his disciples, he said the idea that, yes, the kingdom of God is here, but will be true. Still to come. How can we understand that? It's here or not? And Jesus tried to explain to them the idea that, yes, the kingdom of God is here, but it is not fully here. Because we'll be only fully when I come back again. So then Jesus teaches his disciples this kingdom that was inaugurated with Jesus. That kingdom will still to come. It is already present, but not yet completely. The kingdom of God will come in glory and power. And Jesus began to explain to the disciples in verse 22 and 24. Jesus teaches that kingdom of God will come suddenly, powerful and visible. So Jesus illustrates this idea in verse 24. For the Son of Man in his days will be like the lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to another. So, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you, but it has not yet come fully. The kingdom of God will come fully only when? When Jesus returns again. And this is what we are living now. Jesus continued by saying, verse 25, that the kingdom of God will come fully. For this happened, he need to die. Verse 25 says, but first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. So Jesus teaches his disciples that he need to be crucified, he need to be raised from the death, and he will rise to the heavens, and after time he will come back. Only them. The kingdom of God will be fully here. So Jesus, from verse 26 to 29, shows two Old Testament events that teach that his coming will be Sunday. Verse 26 says, just as it was in the days of Noah, so also it will be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and be given marriage up to the day of Noah into the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying, selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day that Son of Man is revealed. So Jesus is sharing with his disciple that, okay, that's it's how it will be. When I will come, nobody will respect me. The dominion of God is already here on the earth, but so far it's invisible. We cannot see. Suddenly, while those who are in the world are eating, drinking, marrying, buying, selling, planting, harvest, without worry about God, just like that, Jesus will come. This will happen. So, Jesus will come in glory. And Jesus said that when he come there, will be a separation from those people who belong to God, from those people who don't belong to God. Only when he returns. And from verse 31 to 35, Jesus warned them that when he comes and his people preserve that Jesus is come, they should leave everything and just go to try to find the Lord. Verse 31 to 35 says, on that day, no one who is on the housetop with possessions inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken, and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken, and the other left. So the great separation between those who belong to God for those not belong to God will happen only when Jesus comes back again. But so far we don't know. We cannot say because we don't have even authority to say, okay, you are a believer, you are not a believer. We cannot say that. Only God knows our hearts. Only God knows. But we will be one day when Jesus will come, and he will show who really belongs to him. But you know, this promise, how long time ago was? More than 2,000 years. More than 2,000 years. Already in the first centuries, Christians in the first century start to ask, how long, Jesus, will you come back again? How long? How long? Why Jesus is slow to keep his promise and his kingdom not fully established? Why? And maybe you already did this question. Why Jesus not come back yet? 2,000 years. We see around us, we see only hunger, pain, injustice, and the wicked prospering while the servant of God go through suffering. Why, Jesus, you not come back? And the consequence of all this, waiting and waiting, is discouragement. Many feel discouragement. And many feel discouraged and they leave the faith because of that. It's to answer these questions that Jesus is writing this parable. How can we endure until the end? In verse 1, we clearly see the purpose of the parable. What Jesus said here, he said that he wants to teach them the importance of prayer and perseverance. We need to pray more and more. When I studied this week, I looked myself and said, wow, I need to pray more. We need to pray more. We need persevere in our prayers. And Jesus wants to bring lessons of what our prayer life should be, especially in those moments that we start to doubt. We start to feel discouraged. Why? When we start to ask, why God seems so distant? When God seems He is not listening to our prayers? Did you have the experience of praying for something for years and nothing happened? Nothing changed? How do you feel? Many times you feel discouraged. You say, God, you will not listen to me? Why I feel you are so distant? So the first lesson we see in these 8 verses is the first one, is the prayer is a duty for all Christians, for all believers. The first lesson is that God has given us prayer as a duty, so we must do with perseverance, even He seems distant and He is taking too long to respond. Verse 1 said, then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. Why? Because things will not be better. This is the world we are living. When you look in the end of verse 8, when Jesus asked, will I find faith on earth? Behind the question, there is already a negative answer. No, the things will be worse and worse. And because of that, because this cause that we are living, we need pray always. We need pray for our family. We need pray for our kids, for our lives, for our friends, for our family. We need to pray. Pray is talk to God in the name of Jesus Christ. Trust that God exists and He has the power to change our circumstance. This is why. Pray is talk to God. Prayer is the simple expression of to be a Christian. If you are a Christian, God expects you to pray, to talk to Him. But many times we have time for everything. Everything. But you just miss time with the Lord to pray. Many times we try to seek help for many people. But we forgot to run to one who has the power to change all circumstances, and even you, inside you. That is why prayer is a duty. Because through prayer, God accomplishes His purpose in the world. It is by prayer that God answers our needs. Of course, God knows everything. God knows everything. God knows even your when you start to pray, God knows exactly what you say before you say, of course. But He wants that you and me can come before Him and ask. Do you know? Many times, even our prayer. Did you have experience that you start think about, to pray about one thing or one way. And when you start to pray, you change the prayer. You focus on something totally different. Because God, through the Holy Spirit, is leading you in prayer, in what you have to pray. Because most of the time, when you pray, confess, we have so selfish prayers. We pray like a small kid. Give, Dad. Give. 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 How many times our kids come and say, when it's small kids say, thank you, Dad, for you this. Thank you for this. No, most of the time, Dad, can you give me this? Can you give candy? Can you give this? It's like us. But the power of the Holy Spirit, He's come inside you. And even when you start to think that you will pray for something, God will work through the Holy Spirit in your heart to move you for the right prayer. But He needs and He wants you to come to His presence, to seek Him. And the Holy Spirit will lead you. So, neglecting prayer is a tremendous mistake. So Jesus began by saying that we must pray always and never give up. So verse 2 says, He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared that people thought. The judge was a person who judged the cause of the people, and his decision should be obeyed. People sought for a judge when they had a dispute with someone. But that judge did not fear God. He did not care about anyone. This is the guy in the city. In verse 3, we saw that there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea. Grant me justice against my adversary. So what's happening here? The widow is presented here as an illustration of the most deprived human being. This is an illustration. The widow in the time of Jesus were indeed the most helpless person in its culture. Because they were alone. They don't have income. They don't have anything. They don't have family to take care of them. So this is what represents. The widow was having a problem with someone, and this person was making her life more difficult than it was already there, difficult. So the widow had nobody to help her. So what she did, she went to the judge. She went to the judge. And the expression here, who kept come to him with the plea, bring the idea that she every day, maybe every morning, went in front of the judge's house and say, hey, please help me. You need to judge my cause. Every day. So you see the idea of persistence. Every day. Perseverance. Every day. So, verse 4 says, for some time, he refused. So, sometimes she's there and said, I don't want to hear. Come tomorrow. Oh, I don't want to hear. Come tomorrow. But every day. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. This was his reaction. So, for a while, the judge paid no attention to the widow. But the point is, he knew that she doesn't have money to bribe him. He knew that she doesn't have money to try, in some place when they say, okay, if I give some money, could you put my process in front of the line? So he knows that she doesn't have money. But one thing he knows, if I did not judge her cause, she'll be here every day, bother me. So, because of selfish reasons, he decided to take care of her cause. Because of perseverance, because of her persistence. So, Jesus continues to teach, to draw more lessons for his disciple. The second lesson here is, the first lesson is we have to pray. Pray is a duty for all Christians. The second lesson is, Jesus emphasized the value of persistence in prayer. So, verse 6 says, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. What is the main point of this parable? We can summarize this parable in this sentence. If a sinner judge, a wicked judge, who did not fear God and care for no one, resolved to respond to this persistent widow's request, how much more will our righteous God not answer the prayer of his chosen children, who knock at his door night and day in prayer? This is the lesson. And Jesus is inviting his disciples, say, do you know, this is what you have to do in your prayers. You have to pray always. And if you have any request, never give up. Continue to ask. Continue to ask. The third lesson we see here is a promise. God will answer our prayers. God will answer our prayers. Verse 7 says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? God will answer our prayers because we are the chosen ones. We are people he has chosen to express his glory. This is why. God will. The verse says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? The people that the Bible says that he separated even before the world was formed. The chosen one. This choice was not made on merit. This choice was not made through foreknowledge. This choice was made on base God's love in a really mysterious sovereign. Jesus also say here that he will answer the prayers of his chosen one because they pray all times. Who cry out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? So Jesus, one more time, is saying here that we, as a disciple, we need to pray always. It's our duty. Because it's even is for our benefit. And we need to ask with persistence. We need to ask always and always. Don't give up of your prayers. God is listening. Because you are the chosen one. God chose you before the world was created. But we need to understand that Jesus is not saying here that day and night, that they are day and night on their knees. We need to understand. Jesus is not saying here they pray all the time or pray always. Doesn't mean that you stay in your room 24 hours a day. Pray, pray, pray. Don't go anywhere because I need pray the whole day. I cannot work because I need pray all day. This is not what Jesus is talking about. Okay? Jesus talked about that during your normal day, your day on your job, in school, you always seeking God. You always connect with God. So if you're driving, okay, of course, you're not close your eyes. Close your eyes. Oh, God, bless the day. Although many people driving here looks like they all with closed eyes. But it's not about that. But you can drive and say, God, you know, bless my mom, bless the school, or bless this my brother. I pray that you can be with him. We can do. You can continue pray, doing something. When you are working, we can do this. We can, and you can, of course, you can separate special time that we will be only alone with God, pray, of course. But what Jesus say, we need to work, we need to pray always during our day. So, and Jesus will attend them, but it may seem that it take too long. This expression here, well, will he keep putting them off? So, behind this big scene, the idea that 2,000 years Jesus promised to come, and he didn't yet. And the disciples in the first century, they are asking, okay, how long will it be? So much persecution, how long will it be? Behind this question comes a feeling of disappointment. How long will we still have to wait, God? How long? How long? This is a fair question. Sometimes God seems to be slow to respond. It's true. The promise that Jesus would come in power and glory is over 2,000 years. And this delay may cause disappointment for many. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:12 that hope that is postponed makes the heart sick. It's true. Then people lose heart and begin to weaken their faith because nothing happened around them. They pray and God did not respond right away. Jesus promised 2,000 years. Oh, and start to doubt, it is true. They do not pray anymore as consequence. They do not seek the presence of God. And they no longer pray for the kingdom of God to come. As Jesus asked us on the Lord's Prayer, we need to ask, God, bring your kingdom. Remember that. So we need to understand that in our perspective, it may seem that it takes too long. But in God's perspective, not. Jesus will come in time, in a perfect time. Because God's time is different from our time. Look what Peter says in 2 Peter 3, 8 to 9. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This was Peter try to answer the same questions we are talking today. So, we can say that for us, 2,000 years passed by. 2,000 years passed by for us. But how many days will it be for God? Only 2 days. We can't think like that. That explains why sometimes seem God's response is slow to respond. And the answer is given according to God's timeline, not ours. He will respond our prayer according to Him, according to His time, not our time. Because He knows everything and He has power to do what He wants. He is God. And Jesus' last word on this theme is in the end of verse 8. I tell you, He will see that they get justice, and quickly. Whoever, when the Son of Man comes when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? In another word here is, will you be persevering when I return? This is the question for the disciples. Will take long. I will come in the future. But you guys will be persevering until the end. Prayer requests faith. And Jesus is asking here, when I return, will I find people praying? When I return, will I find people believing and seeking me? Or will the church have given up and abandoned the trust of God's promise? How will it be when I come? You still there, believing, prayer, even if everything is going very bad around you? The truth is, the Bible says that at the end of the time, men will fall into apostasy, the denial of faith. This is what the Bible says. So, we cannot expect that we have like many people come to Christ. Many people, wow. And many people accept victory. Do you know, sometimes we have some songs we sing that it's in the church, when you talk about the Christian church, many songs, it's all about victory. We are, do you know, themes like no problem. The gospel will reach everything because, you do know, but this is not what the Bible says that will be the end. When this close to Jesus come, the things will get worse, and worse. And this is why it's so important for me and you pray always and be persevering with perseverance. We need to do that. Because if you not do that, our faith will be weakened. With this question, Jesus is trying to raise the disciples' awareness of challenge that they would face. This question, Jesus is just trying to open my eyes and your eyes that we need pray, we need to be prepared because things will be very hard. And you need to keep our prayer life as a thing very important for our lives. So Jesus brings this parable as a warning to all His disciples. Jesus brings this parable as a warning to me and you today. And when you look back now, I know that it's a lot of stuff, but what can you take home, the lessons for today? First is, though sovereign and all-powerful, He can do everything. God determined prayer as a duty to His people until the come of Christ. God could do everything. He can do everything. But He chose that through prayer, we can strengthen our faith is a duty for you, is a duty for me. Because it's the simplest expression of be a Christian. Is pray. If you not pray, you need to ask yourself. And I'm not talking about 24 hours prayer. I talk about have time with Lord and pray and talk to Him as God, Father, and a Son. Put before Him your needs and the needs of your family and friends, the needs of this world. We need to pray always until He comes back. And our attitude must be pray always. The second lesson is we need to persist in our prayers. God wants us to insist on our prayers. God wants us to bother Him with our prayers. He wants that. So don't give up. And during the process that you pray, and sometimes really take too long, we feel, it's a process that God is teaching you to. Maybe you need, and I need to analyze if my prayer is really good for me or for my family. Or it's right for me pray that? Third and last, He will answer our prayer in His time and not in our time. Take this home. God is more concerned to make me and you mature Christian than to meet our wishes. I will say again, God is more concerned to make me and you mature Christians than to meet our wishes. The apparent delay helps us to examine our prayers and our attitude toward God. I remember that my daughter, my son, it's good, I can say that they are not here. Because usually when I say things about them, they are here, and always in the end, mom say, why you expose them like that? So yes, but they are not here, so I can do. Only second service. So, they ask as a kid, they ask things. You have kids, so you know how it works. Most of you have kids, you know. And you were a kid. So, and during that, so Liz is 18, Azef is 16, and we had really different reactions when they asked things and we said no, or when you said not yet. Okay? But one thing that I can say that it's really looks like us is, what is your reaction when God says no? What is the reaction of a baby when you go in a grocery store and they say, give me a candy? And you say no. Yeah, sometimes we see that. Yeah, I saw already. Eh? And for us, too, sometimes we can say, I don't believe anymore. It's like just a kid in the grocery store. Sometimes we have the same attitude. And I can say that it was not all times, but there was time that my kids, one of them, asked me for something, and I said no. And he or she, I don't remember, say, okay, Dad, it's okay. When you can, it'll be great. You know, because of that, I feel my heart, I would call, impel to give. And I gave. This is a secret. Write down. Because there is a spiritual thing, lesson behind this. Sometimes what you need is, God, you know everything. You know what is good for me. If you want to give me, I want this, but you know the best for me. If you want to give, I'll be very grateful. If you don't give, I'm grateful too, because you know the best for me. And if it's not, it's not. If it's not time yet, it's okay. I can wait, but praise be your name. Doing that. Do that. Do that. And one day you remember, it can come and give a testimony. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you very much for your word. Powerful. Thank you that you know that you will answer our prayers. Not in our time, but your time. Because you have a different timeline. But you know that you're sovereign and you have all in control. We pray that you help us to pray more. Help us to pray and to be in connection with you more and more. And pray for us to be persevering in our prayers. Trust in you day by day. And if you have somebody here that in some way are disappointed with God, we pray that this message can touch their hearts. They understand that God loves them and He is an answer. He is close to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.